research study from Queen's University Belfast sheds light on how churches on the island of Ireland are navigating the COVID-19 pandemic. The research was done by Dr. Gladys Ganuel. Dr. Ganuel, welcome. What is of particular interest to you from your research?
I think one of the most interesting and really impressive aspects of this has been how quickly churches have moved religious services online and how much that has appealed to people, really. The survey research I did indicated that this jumped from about 56% of parishes offering online provision before the pandemic to 87% by the middle of May. Clergy reported that far more numbers of people were accessing these services than would have ever entered their church buildings. There was also an emphasis put by many local faith communities on serving the wider public. Across the four largest Christian denominations, 74% of the faith communities either continued at their same level of service provision or actually increased it during the pandemic, which is quite impressive, I think, when you put in perspective that many churches' donations in the offering plate have gone down. So they're doing this with even less resources than they would have had before the pandemic as well.
I'm interested in your role as a sociologist to be able to have had access to a great number of the clergy that you talked to. What was the overall sense you had from them and how they're coping?
It hasn't been easy for clergy. You know, it's a stressful job, particularly in recent years in Ireland. Clergy, even before the pandemic, were coming under more pressure because of decline in vocations and being asked to do more and more with less staff, if we can put it that way. So the pandemic kind of exacerbated that trend. And then on top of it, you've got the restrictions that mean that a funeral cannot proceed in the normal way. The clergy cannot exercise their pastoral care functions in the normal way. So many clergy have felt even a sense of guilt, they told me, about not being able to comfort the grieving in the way that they would have liked. So I had one priest who said to me that conducting a funeral during COVID conditions was the most difficult thing he's ever had to do as a priest. So when you add that kind of extra stress and feeling guilty about not being able to do as they would like, on top of priests and clergy's many other duties, it has been an exceptionally stressful time.
We know, too, that there has been a certain amount of pressure applied to get churches open again.
One of the things I found was that actually the process of reopening church buildings was one of the most stressful aspects of ministering during the pandemic. And a lot of this was due, I suppose, to the complexity of it. You know, it had to be managed in such a way that the public was kept safe. It required additional volunteers who clergy said were actually quite willing to come forward. They were amazed by the people really who came forward to help volunteer for stewarding and ensure that social distancing took place. This whole time was just experienced as very stressful by clergy because of those public health worries. I remember one Presbyterian minister said to me, you know, some people wanted me to open earlier, some wanted to open later. You know, you couldn't please everybody. You just had to make a decision on it. So some felt that maybe they were a bit under pressure from people in their congregation or their parish to open sooner than they would have liked from a safety perspective.
Now, your survey covered many faiths. I'm curious about the idea that you were able to notice some form of increase in interfaith cooperation.
When I say interfaith, we should probably qualify that to inter-Christian. So while the original survey did attempt to access people of non-Christian religions, it didn't come back in high enough numbers to make any claims with confidence. But what we found, particularly in interviews with clergy, was that at the national level, the interchurch contact has been more frequent and of better quality, perhaps, than I would even make the claim at any other time in Irish church history. Now, a lot of this has been driven by the specific circumstances of the pandemic. So for instance, the church leaders group, which includes the Church of Ireland and Catholic Archbishops of Armagh, and the Presbyterian moderator and the Methodist president, this church leaders group at one point was meeting nearly every 2 weeks to discuss issues around responding to the pandemic and reopening buildings and so forth. So responding to the pandemic as a crisis sort of brought the church leaders together. And at the same time, that increased contact at the national level was around issues like Brexit and dealing with the past in Northern Ireland. There was a response to British government proposals on that at one point, to the point where I would really make the claim that this is the most sustained and highest quality inter-church national level contact that we've probably had.
Given the insight you have from the research, how would you brief church leaders as to what to expect next when hopefully the pandemic has gone?
Well, I mean, I think people are going to expect now a certain level of online religion, if we can put it that way. People actually like that, we have found, and many churches and parishes have added like extra services, you know, evening prayers and this sort of thing. So I think people will expect to be able to practice their religion on the internet a bit. So going forward, they should expect a blended online and in-person approach to worship. And another thing I found was that the response to the pandemic has actually increased volunteering amongst lay people. So we found lay people were helping out with technical aspects about getting religion online, with the reopening of church buildings. And I think that's something that many clergy would welcome, this idea of a discipleship, a more active faith Christianity that goes outside the walls of the church building. The flip side of that may be some people dropping out entirely. So you might get a kind of smaller church with more intense involvement with blended online services. One of the things that my research found was that even clergy who were cocooning were continuing to minister. So the original survey, 82% of faith leaders who were cocooning for age or health reasons continued virtual ministry. So in some ways, they sort of soldiered on, a large percentage of them. I mean, I think the burden has fallen on all the clergy, really. And young and old clergy have them, you know, themselves have contracted COVID and so forth. So I don't know that I could, you know, support the generalization that the burden's fallen more on young clergy. I think everyone has kind of have felt that burden and, you know, been really, I suppose, exceptional in responding to it and trying to continue ministering online to people. It's recognized, you know, what they do with funerals, what they would do as hospital chaplains, you know, and providing pastoral care. The title of one of my research reports was called "People Still Need Us." And that was a quote that a priest wrote into the survey. And he said, you know, I think one of the things the pandemic has shown me is that people actually do still need us. We do have a social role that we can play. Sure, it's different than what the Catholic Church was like, but we have an opportunity to serve, you know, and this is what we would like to do, is actually to serve people and contribute to that common good.
Dr. Gladys Ganuel, thank you for joining us on The Leap of Faith.
Thank you.